Today on Grounded Wellness, we are coming to you from the lush, healing landscape of Kauai, where I have the honor of sitting down with Doug Walcon, the owner of Kauai Pharmacy. That's pharmacy with an F, not a PH. Doug's story is a powerful one, trading a fast-paced life in New York finance for a slower, more intentional path rooted in the wisdom of the land. Doug and his team have built a thriving herbal sanctuary that grows over 80 varieties of plants, all rooted in regenerative, permaculture-based practices. Kauai Pharmacy is more than just a farm. It's a living, breathing embodiment of ancestral knowledge and the medicine that comes from reconnecting with nature. In today's conversation, we explore Doug's personal journey, the healing properties of various herbs, and what it means to live in harmony with Earth, right here on the Garden Island. Let's dig in. Aloha, Doug. I am so excited to be here in Kauai with you. Thanks for making the drive over to Anini Beach to record with me today.
Aloha, Bethany. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You made a massive lifestyle change when you left a life in New York finance to start a regenerative herb farm in Kauai. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
So that was in my early 30s. I was doing private equity real estate in Connecticut, New York area. And I can't say that the shift was all that conscious at the time. It was kind of just moving through it. I left that world behind me, but it wasn't easy to dissolve that identity. I'm still dissolving that finance identity, if you will, that I was so attached to. Kauai is one of those places where an island living, you know, where people don't see you for that identity. So yeah, that was tough. That was tough to come here and no one see me.
Did you like visit one time and you were like, okay, I need to be here more? Or what did that look like? Like what led you to make that decision?
Yeah, so the feeling of the acceptance of this island, so it's just a diverse place where, you know, as far as the way people live and lack of judgment in terms of, you know, raising family and school systems. And there's a lot of openness to people's willingness to accept. And I felt that and I was wanting that for myself and my family. So that's was one of the reasons. Obviously, the waterfalls and ocean and place to heal. The healing piece, I think, was something that was, you know, in my gut, but I wasn't that conscious of that. I had some generational healing. I had some real healing to do here, and it's been a blessing to tap into the plants, to the water, to the air. It's not the story that, you know, I moved to this island. It's been challenging, you know. Yeah. It's been quite challenging in ways that I could never have imagined. I mean, growth and expansion comes with, it doesn't have to, you know, it can be easy and graceful, but for me there's been certainly lots of periods of pain and suffering, you know, that come with growth and expansion.
What changes have you noticed health-wise in your own body since moving from New York to Kauai?
So I would say just there was a lot of numbness in my body. I didn't even know what feeling healthy and vital felt like, really, at that point. I was in my early 30s. I had probably 30, 40 pounds heavier than I am now. And now the concept of, you know, feeling light and limber and standing in a strong conscious posture we just talked about, having joy running through my body, I mean, those are all aspects of my journey that I've worked on cultivating.
And would you say in New York it was more just like fast paced, head down kind of lifestyle, just go, 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 like no time to really consider how you're even feeling?
Yeah, you know, the idea of taking responsibility, it was new to me, and I needed people to like explain it to me a lot of times to fully get it. Of just like, as I got older, my responsibilities, children, work, aspirations, ambitions were increasing, and my well-being was sort of stagnant or even coming down. And so to me, they run in parallel paths. And when I was working in that finance space, my ambitions were infinite. And I didn't see it as you know, as being parallel to my well-being.
Yeah.
So I kind of realized that truth through my own suffering, you know, through my own, like, why can't I have all these ambitions come true? And then I'd be like, ah, my neck hurts, you know, that's why.
Yeah.
Because I had pain in my body and pain in my, then my thoughts weren't clear. And I'm, you know, obviously still working on all of it.
Right. It's amazing how much feeling good can contribute to the goals that people are trying to reach that they sometimes neglect because they want to get there. But yeah, like you said, like taking care of yourself is so important in order to do what you want to do in life, whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point. Like, even in the goals, are they aligned? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know that's what you want?
Yeah, like, is it what you want, or is it what you think you want, or what society tells you that you want?
Because you get what you are. How do I find alignment? And you find alignment through ease and grace, right? When there's ease in the body, when you're experiencing grace, that's when the alignment comes through. And ideally, all the goals and aspirations that you have will then unfold accordingly, as opposed to all these desires that are outside of you that you're trying to grab onto. And yeah, it can be elusive, yeah, discerning between the two, what's really in alignment, what you've been trained or institutionalized to go after.
I would imagine that it was such a big shock to your system moving here and living a slower life. Did you ever have like withdrawals of like just living this fast-paced life and feel like you had to detox from that at all?
It's a great question. I still have withdrawals for sure. You know, it's,
I know sometimes like when I come here, because we come here a couple times a year, and it usually takes me a few days to kind of settle in and like ease up.
Yeah, I mean, being able to observe yourself, this is a place where you know, the mirror is powerful. So the self-reflection, you know, is necessary and almost required. And as far as cultural, you know, so much that I still yearn for in my old life. And I still would love to move further into and bring back some of the work that I did and integrate it into my life again, some of the skills that I had. And also culturally, you know, and then it's just a question of, I grounded so hard on the farm. I'm trying to soften that a little bit. The grounding, if you will, there was a time with three kids, I couldn't even go down the street. It was like, I couldn't move. There was so much responsibility on the farm. We bit off way too much, you know, and it was only 4 acres, but the ambitions and the products and the alchemy and the people that worked there, and we just had no clue what we were doing.
Diving into something new, starting a new endeavor, is no joke. It's like amazing and beautiful, but lots of ups and downs. I can definitely relate to that in like the early years of starting Primally Pure.
Yeah.
It's kind of all consuming.
It's all consuming. And yeah, and then so there's aspects of it being here on Kauai where I went to this farm experience because I thought it would liberate my journey in terms of business and having this space where I could do the alchemy and heal and not have outside powers affect it so much. But at the same time, it became so kind of secluded, if you will, the experience, in order to get it off the ground, that we had to like focus so deep. And you know, we dug ourselves such a hole that we almost, you know, we couldn't get out. So we kept, you know, we kept going
and kept digging.
Yeah, kept digging out, you know, and still to this day, I mean, it's a big 4 acres of herbal medicine gardens that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about Kauai Pharmacy for anyone who isn't familiar with it.
Yeah.
Talk to us kind of about what you guys have going on, what you've built, what you offer.
So Kauai Pharmacy is an herbal medicine farm that started in early, like 2012, 13, somewhere in there. We grow plant medicine for teas, salves, serums, oils, tinctures, honey, hydrosols. So all different modalities. And we have over 100 botanicals on the farm. It's a backyard garden, but, you know, on 4 acres, and it's kind of turned into a medicine forest. It's head high and above, and there's ground covers underneath, and it's all medicine. It may be one of the most diverse collections and of medicine on the planet in terms of, you know, intentional medicine growing for production. So on the farm, we take these plants that, you know, it's canopy, it's, you know, tiered. We're using permaculture systems throughout our practices. So all the ground's covered. And then we craft everything on the farm as well. So we're harvesting all day and then putting it into our oils and tinctures and curing herbs. So we have big solar dehydrators in our kitchen. And then we'll do the alchemy as it relates to the teas and then package it and ship it right off the farm. So super fresh. The alchemy, you know, it's not the big witchcraft that people think it is. It's really us getting out of the way. Yeah. You know, the plants are brilliant in their medicine, and we use medicines that have been used for thousands of years. So, you know, ginger, turmeric, cinnamon, black pepper, Tulsi, lemongrass, those are the plants. Moringa, soursop leaf, noni leaf, those are the plants. Cacao, they're kind of household names for thousands of years. They're what the spice wars and trades were kind of founded on, were these herbs, cardamom, nutmeg. Yeah, they're all on the farm. So
cool.
It's amazing. And for me, my journey was, I was heavier and I came here and I struggled and I thought I'd just grab a surfboard and like I had my finance life and that treated me well enough in my early 30s that I could come here and take some time. And I thought I was going to live this life. And next thing you know, my lower back's sore and I can't even hold the surfboard, you know, and I'm trying to go to yoga and do acupuncture and get some willpower, but nothing really. I couldn't really make that much transformation until I found these teas. So I was making a lemon balm, Tulsi, mint, sage tea.
Wow.
And it was just raw leaves from my backyard garden at a place I was renting. And we were also using the noni leaf. And I was detoxing and my diet was shifting and the alkalinity of the herbs. So we talked about it before, was the radical alkalinity of these herbal medicines. You know, if you look at the pH, we're looking for, you know, to mimic spring water. We're 72% water. So we want to be in this mid sevens. So how do we do that when the diet, the American diet's so acidic, which acids are fine, you know, but the acids that we consume every day, the, you know, the roasted coffees, the synthetic sugars, the meats, gluten, dairy, nothing wrong with any of them. It's about balance. So how do we balance? Well, the herbal medicine is radical alkalinity. It pulls the system to that 7.6 pH, if you will. And so that we can fall into a beautiful spring water-like pH.
So that tea blend that you mentioned, was that instrumental in your healing?
Yeah, so for me, I couldn't, like people like dubs from willpower, like it doesn't work like that. Yeah. You know, mind over matter, like no, it does not, like maybe for some people, it didn't work for me. You know, I kept eating.
You're like, I was willing myself to feel better and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Do you offer that tea blend now? The same one that like helped you heal?
We don't, for different reasons. We can't grow the sage to that level.
Okay. Maybe we should do a trade because we have sage on our farm.
Oh, that'd be cool. Well, yeah, Southern California is a great place to do a lot of sage. Yeah, I mean, the Mediterranean herbs that you have in Southern California, that would be a game changer if people really leaned into the herbal medicine that can be grown in Southern California, like rosemary, sage, lavender. Yeah. You mentioned those herbs before. Yeah. And if people just, I mean, the way they honored those herbal medicines and kept them by the bedside and made tea out of them and had them at ceremonial, you know, events and experiences, they're potent. So yeah, for me, it became an interceptor. So I was starting to attract to better foods, right? So once you alkaline the system or become more alkaline, you're going to be attracted to more alkaline foods, which are fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, watery foods, foods that are mostly water. Fruits are 90% water, vegetables are 70% water. So we're going to be attracted to more watery foods, which are much easier to digest, right? And they're going to hold that ratio of 72% water in terms of the five elements in the system, right? Fire being 4%, air being 6%, earth being 12%, right? So when we eat a big bowl of pasta, how do we maintain the 72% water ratio when we just ate? We need to drink like 2 gallons of water. That's why everyone's carrying around water bottles. People weren't carrying around water bottles back in the day. Yeah. You know, we just grabbed a hose once a day, right? You know, so it wasn't like that. Where now there's no water in the diet or very little. And so how do we alkaline the system to be more attracted to fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds?
Yeah.
So that we can, so that's what the herbal medicine does for people.
I've been fascinated by that lately. Like, hydration is not just about drinking enough water. And like you mentioned, so many of the fruits and vegetables, I love like gel water fruits. I've been really interested in that lately. And I know Kauai has so many of them, but they're more biocompatible for like more similar to the water in our bodies. And therefore, like, we need that in order to be adequately hydrated. We can't just, it's not just about drinking a ton of water.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest way to go is through those types of foods.
And you mentioned a term, which I loved. I think you said medicine forest. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What would you say to anyone who is skeptical about the healing power of herbs?
Yeah, so the reason why they're skeptical, in my opinion, is because they ransacked the Spice Islands. You know, they monocropped, they fertilized, they made it so that the black pepper that exists on the table today isn't medicine anymore. They used to travel for 18 months, 24 months to get black pepper. Christopher Columbus would leave for ginger, black pepper, cinnamon, allspice, and he'd come back and he'd have the loot. He'd have the haul of spices, and he'd lose half his men on that ship. And it wasn't the black pepper that's sitting on the table today. So what we grow and what you can grow in your backyard garden is true herbal medicine. And that's what, in my opinion, was intended for us to find mindfulness and consciousness in our lives as a foundation, right? So once those herbal medicines come in as a foundation of alkalinity, but also mindfulness and diversity of vitamins and minerals, the diversity is off the charts. Like when you start blending cinnamon with allspice and lemon balm and tulsi, the diversity of vitamins and minerals, just trust it. Just trust the magnesium, the potassium, the vitamin C, the iron, right? And stop worrying about, oh, I'm deficient in this and I'm deficient in that. Like, just eat purple, green, orange, yellow, blue, colors of the rainbow, and you will be fine.
It's a lot more simple when you think about it that way. How, from a medicinal perspective, how do herbs differ from traditional pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, so they keep you honest. You know, self-reflection, like you can't hide. You take the herbs and you feel yourself. So if you want to lean into your truth and you want to hold yourself accountable, as opposed to play the victim and talk about my knee as if it's not my doing.
And a part of the whole system, right? Everything is connected.
Yeah, like I happen to be 30 pounds extra on the knee, but yeah. I'm talking about my bad knee as opposed to my belly that's 30 pounds extra weight on the knee that wasn't designed for the 30 pounds. And so the herbs hold you accountable. So whether you eat poorly or stay up at night or have certain relationships, your consciousness is rising, your mindfulness is rising, you're getting more in tune with your circulation, your diet, your alkalinity. So that's how it holds you accountable. And the pharmaceuticals, you know, which are all, again, most of that's plant medicine, but it's, you know, like opium. I mean, that's the majority are opiates, but there's others, plants. And then they just add chemicals and cook them. Right? And that puts you in an acidic space and you can't really tell you're never going to find the root. Yeah. Like, that's what, to me, like, it's our responsibility to go back and find the root. And just, it might take lifetimes.
Yeah, I think we need to see these symptoms that pop up as opportunities to find deeper healing rather than just trying to make them go away at whatever cost.
Yeah, I mean, the words that we've used to classify, you know, pain and suffering, the words like, you know, with all respect to like cancer, that it's just a bad thing, you know, and it could be a really, really bad thing going on. But how do we take responsibility for what we put in our bodies and put in our mouths? And so the herbal medicine makes you feel it, mm-hmm. right? And holds you accountable. And those, you know, and no longer can we play the victim as if, you know, it happened to me. Because nothing, it doesn't happen to you. You don't, you know, get food poisoning. You order it off the menu.
I love that. Right? Yeah, we're all active participants in our health.
That's right.
What are some herbs that across the board everybody should be taking?
Well, certainly ginger, you know, for the fire and digestion and metabolism. Circulation is, you know, it's the most popular herb in the world. Ginger on, you know, on the daily. The yin and yang in the ginger family is turmeric for inflammation, boosting the immune system and supporting the liver. Those are, and also that, you know, that root chakra, the root herbs are going to really help with the lowest area in the digestion. Our teas are comprised mostly of, you know, our foundation is ginger, turmeric, tulsi, which is the elixir of life in Ayurvedic medicine, used for calming of digestion and respiratory. Again, holy basil or tulsi.
What do holy basil and tulsi do?
So I said, as I mentioned, calming of the respiratory and digestion, but it's also renowned as the awareness herb. And so really help self-reflection and take responsibility. But, you know, the tulsi was that in that four-herb blend that I initially made. The tulsi helped thin the blood so I could get some circulation moving. A lot of times we just need a little support. And, you know, blood thinners, well, the herbs are, they thin blood, they detox. So how do they they scrape and they claw, right, at the toxins. So we're looking to cleanse. At the same time, we're looking to starve the toxins. If we have ailments or cancers or anything of the sorts, we can come up with thousands of names at this point to describe what it is that we have or associate with or identify with in terms of these symptoms. And then the last component is we want to nourish. So like moringa would be a great herb to nourish.
That's big on the islands, right?
Yeah, it's huge. The Filipino community has brought it here and celebrated it and made sure that it grows really well. So the herbs that grow well, easy to harvest, easy to cure, really easy to drink. And, you know, the side effects of herbal medicine typically are rest and water, you know, and breath work, right? Because what happens in, you know, you can dumb down almost any sickness into hydration, lower that earth body, right? Lower that food body from 12%. I mean, from, you know, excessive food body or poisons. People are carrying 15, 18% food body or earth in them when that should be like 12. So what do we do when we lie in bed and be sick? We are lowering our food body. We're typically not eating. We're drinking tons of water. Mm-hmm. We're doing all kinds of breath work with all kinds of respiratory issues that we're identifying with. Like literally like breath work, sometimes for days or weeks or months, people will do and call it pneumonia. And then we sit with ourselves and we either become aware that we created this experience for our own healing, because that's what most times that when I get sick or see people that are sick, in most instances, it's really their opportunity to heal. Right, they're taking a break, they're taking care of themselves, they're lying in bed, they're resting, they're drinking water, they're doing breath work.
So are you saying that people get to that point, or the body forces you kind of to reach that point of sickness so that it can do some deeper healing?
It's been sick.
Yeah, and it's
and
just,
we've been
it's
numbing
coming out.
And numbing and numbing, and the body says, no more. You will lie in your bed, you will breathe, and you will drink water and maybe juice and, you know, hopefully get some tea in you at some point. You know, but that's, and detox, you're going to the bathroom a lot, right? Yeah. At that point. And ideally you sit in it long enough where you can find alignment, but we also find ourselves rushed to get back to work, rushed to get back to our responsibilities. So it's really, it can be really elusive.
Big perspective shift when you think about sickness in that way. You mentioned Moringa. What is the nutritional profile of Moringa?
Yeah, so it's got pretty much every amino acid, positive amino acid that you can find. It's got more calcium pound for pound than milk. It's got more potassium pound for pound than banana. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of nourishment. In Africa, it's given to mamas that are breastfeeding, pregnant mamas as well. So in terms of anyone looking for plant-based muscle, that would be the plant would be Moringa. Yeah, if you're looking for plant-based muscle.
Which herbs have the best skin healing nutrients or benefits?
Yeah, so my favorite oil in the world is kikui nut oil.
I like kikui nut. We use that in a few of our products.
It's got it's the candle nut, so it burns for minutes on end, the nut itself. That's the oil, so the consistency or the characteristics of that oil will burn. Hold a fire. They used to say, I'll be back in a couple of nuts. And they would light the nut on fire, and then you'd know that, you know, in a couple minutes, they'll be back. This is the Hawaiians. They brought it over on the canoes, so it was one of the canoe plants. So I love that for the skin. I love calendula infused in the kikui. I love the blue butterfly pea that we have here for the skin.
How do you use this?
We have it infused in one of our oils.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm one of those, I love the noni, right? So the noni fruit.
Ooh, I want to talk about it.
Yeah, aloe. I like to submerge myself in plant medicine.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly one of those that like wants to rub everything from clay to macadamia nut oil to flowers on me and see what happens.
Tell us a little bit more about noni, because I lived with a Samoan family for a little while in high school, and they drank noni juice. And every time I come to Kauai, I just feel like, okay, I've gotta get some noni. And I've seen it in like dried fruit leather form, in juice form. Tell us a little bit about like the different forms of noni, different types of noni, and what it all does.
So noni, N-O-N-I. Mm-hmm. And most people, it comes in from the fruit in most products. We on the farm utilize it mostly with the leaf, but we also have a few products. We have a cleanse formula where we use the fruit, and we have a honey. The fruit is difficult to get through the flavor of it. They have a juice. They ferment the fruit in a juice, and it kind of looks like brain, and it tastes like fermented cheese. Like, it's pretty gnarly.
It's really potent. I don't mind it, but I know a lot of people can't stand it.
Yeah, it's tough to, like, we were going to have like a noni eating contest at one point. It would be pretty funny. But the leaf is more palatable and, in my opinion, a little more sustainable, more balanced. We use mostly leaves on the farm to make our teas.
Does it have similar benefits?
I find it to have similar benefits, but not as potent or acute, right? So a lot of the medicines, like if it's acute, it has acute power. We have to kind of dilute it, if you will, with other herbs like lemongrass and turmeric and ginger that are going to be more tonic-y in their delivery and more daily consumption herbs. So the noni's going to, you know, I think if there's one word to describe noni, I'd say circulation, right? Because like in the body, you just want circulation, right? That's going to bring you vitality, right? And that's going to help move things around and keep anything from being stagnant, right? So the noni's really strong circulation. It's very cleansing, detoxing. So anyone looking to get to par, if you will, like once you've cleansed, I think noni's one of those plants where we're kind of taking with a little more mindfulness in terms of how much, because we've done the cleansing. We're now looking for more nourishment through our foods. right? But I look at herbal medicine, like when I say foundational, I don't really consume a lot of herbal medicine anymore. Mm-hmm. I've done that work in my life. So now I get my medicine through my food and my nutrition. And I find myself still, I still have plenty of battles with going below, you know, dipping below par in terms of energy levels. But yeah, the noni is going to help circulate and detox in like a very profound way. And ideally we have this noni in the retreat centers and the yoga studios and the hospitals. And it needs to, because it's so versatile too. There's, I mean, if you ask me, well, what do I do for this? I would say this, noni and turmeric. I would just say it and I'd be pretty much 100% confident that whatever you have, with the exception of maybe if it goes in your eyes, noni and turmeric will be bullseyes. Now, there's other herbs that are great too, but yeah, those two will help cleanse, ground the system, circulate, alkaline it, clean the liver.
So those are good for anyone who is kind of like new to all of this and just wanting to get to a good spot.
Yes, noni and turmeric, yeah, and ginger would be ideal three herbs, externally and internally.
What about specifically for detoxification? What are some of the most detoxifying herbs?
So detoxifying of the organs versus detoxifying of our like joints, right? So people want to, I think mostly they think of the organs, right?
Yeah.
So I would say for the organs, I like soursop leaf for the colon and the intestines. Again, the noni is going to be great for the whole organ system. The turmeric for the liver, as I mentioned. And then the ginger is going to increase the fire, so we'll be able to burn, you know, the foods and the thoughts. And I mentioned moringa, soursop. I like mulberry leaf for balancing blood sugars. I like papaya leaf for cleansing. So papaya leaf is going to be kind of the prebiotic. So really help bring in the enzymes to break stuff down. And, lemon balm's going to calm the system. Moving through the diversity is ideal, because some people, yeah, the lemon balm's going to calm the system and all they need is a deep breath, right? Where other people need kind of more more aggressive or more acute medicine, like turmeric might be more aggressive on the liver, where the lemon balm's gonna help you get a good night's sleep. And a lot of times, you know, so often, like with, let's say, for example, a respiratory issue, all we're looking to do is try and find that one breath. Once we catch the one breath, then we can get the second breath, right? So like a lemon balm or a tulsi. Tulsi is very calming as well.
And I feel like I want like an herb pharmacy at my house, and I wanna have you on speed dial just to ask you, like, okay, I'm feeling this way, what should I take? But I would imagine, like, eventually it kind of becomes second nature, figuring it all out and deciding, like, what you need in each moment.
Yeah, I mean, backyard gardening is old times, you know? Like, and if you keep it simple, if all you have is mint, you know, in Morocco, that's their medicine.
Yeah.
The mint, right? So where's the mint in our culture? Where is it in, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Where's the lemongrass in our soups, right? So it's way simpler. And obviously the mainland, it's tough to grow roots like ginger and turmeric. So you grow what you can grow. And in Southern California, the rosemary, like I mentioned, in you know, the Mediterranean and Roman times, the most powerful empire in the world, you know, they were bowing to rosemary, lavender, thyme, sage. And those plants alone can do wonders for our culture.
Okay, you brought the cacao plant and we were trying it earlier. So this is where chocolate comes from, correct?
Correct. So that's called cacao. Uh-huh. This is a cacao pod, and I sliced it down the middle.
Never would have thought that this is what it looks like.
Yeah, it does. it's not something that people see every day.
Yeah. Can you explain just like this, what do you call this that I'm holding right now?
So that is a cacao bean or a cacao seed.
And what
so
do you call like the filmy, squishy part around it?
We call it the nectar of okay.
But it's a gel. The chocolate is made out of the bean itself.
They ferment. I am not a fermenting I don't know much about fermentation, but I'll give you what I know. They ferment this in banana leaves for weeks on end. Most of the cacao is coming, I believe, from the African, from the Ivory Coast. And so they'll ferment this in banana leaves for weeks. And a lot of that fermentation process, I believe, is to preserve it, but it's also for flavor. So when you ferment it, I mean, we just cure it like immediately out of the pod and try and preserve the original intention. Because obviously when you ferment something, you know, there's stages of taking a fruit, then you ferment it, and that's what forms different stages of fruit products, mm-hmm. which include vinegar, wine, alcohol, right? Those are all different stages of fruit products. So yeah. The fermentation process moves through those different fruit products.
And what are the benefits of just eating it raw, like we were doing earlier? It's the perfect blend. The squishy nectar part is like so sweet, and then the bean is bitter, but all combined, it's like a great snack. Like I would just chow down on this.
It's really nourishing.
Yeah.
So I understand it to have all three carbohydrates, fats, and protein, which very rare. I don't really know any plant. I'm sure they are, I just don't know them. So that in of itself does make it a true superfood, like a food of the gods, that in of itself. But the jewel of the garden, if there's two jewels, they would be magnesium and manganese. And this plant, as far as whole magnesium, I don't know of another plant in the garden. You can see it from this like kind of red, yellow vibe, the magnesium shining through.
Oh, that's the magnesium that gives it that hue?
From what I understand, yeah. Yeah, you just want a lot of magnesium.
Almost everyone's deficient in it.
Yeah, well, it's like saying you're deficient in gold. You know, it's like the most, like you just want a lot of magnesium.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, or deficient in iron. People say that, you know, you're deficient in my iron. Like maybe like, yeah, I want a lot of iron too, you know, like Superman wants iron, right? Everyone wants iron and magnesium. So instead of like just flipping that story, like I'm deficient, like I just ideally.
It's good for us.
It's so good for us that we want a lot of iron and we need a lot of, and magnesium is a jewel. Like if we can put magnesium in our bodies, then we're just grateful and thankful. Yeah. We're not, I think it's the fifth or sixth most, if the body, the earth element's 12%, calcium I think is 1% of the body. What, calcium's the number one mineral in the world? I'm sorry, in the body? Most prominent mineral. And I think magnesium might be 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
And you were touching on earlier too about the benefits of consuming magnesium in whole food form versus supplementing with it. And kind of like how it's more synergistic with, you know, how it was meant to exist in the natural world versus being like extracted.
Yeah, there's information in these plants.
Yeah.
You know, there's like profound information that's well beyond the scientific, you know, constructs that we can imagine in our little minds. Right, that we think we've like broken down the nourishment in that plant. We have no clue.
Yeah, there's way more to the picture.
It's way bigger and epic.
Yeah.
And so when we can find and experience what is called magnesium in holistic form in the food, and that includes our whole diet, like if we can find our nourishment through whole foods.
Yeah.
And not through supplements, if you will, that have been extracted, right? Because theoretically, I don't know. I just don't know where they would find extract magnesium. You'd have to go to like some pretty valuable earth and just extract it. And then you're giving it out. And it seems cheap the way they sell it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's.
This is so interesting to me because I do take supplements personally. And I wish that I could consume these nutrients more often in whole food forms. But like with this, for example, how would someone like maybe in Southern California like me or somewhere else there where cacao is not grown, like how would you suggest that we can like still benefit from the whole food form of magnesium or any other nutrient? Like if the access isn't there as much, like are we not looking in the right places? How do we approach that?
It's a good question. You know, I don't necessarily have the clear answer for that. There's great magnesium products out there. I'm not going to say there aren't. There's, I mean, you know, when you use it, you feel good from using it. So I think we just do the best we can.
Yeah.
You know, and
what about chocolate? Does like actual chocolate still have some of that bioavailable magnesium?
Sure, of course. I think what we want to do is get ourselves to the point where we know those answers. Yeah, so we need a lot of things when we're constantly trying to consume a lot of things, thoughts.
Like slowing down, learning more about what your body needs, tuning into that, and like actually slowing down enough to feel the difference of the different like supplements or herbs that we're taking in. But when we're constantly just in consumption mode, it's like hard to even tell what's going on.
So lowering our consumption, this aspect of healing that we've all been kind of thrown into, which is what do we put in our mouth to heal? What do we put in our mouth to heal? There has to be the polarity of that, or even is what, how do we sit in stillness, right? How do we stop the consumption? How do we sit in stillness and silence? And when we lower our consumption and our production stays on par, all that, we gain all that, right?
It's kind of becoming a lost art, just having the ability to do that.
To drop our consumption.
Yeah.
To sit in stillness and silence, specifically our thoughts, right? Because those can be so draining. And our emotions that are attached to those thoughts can drain us. You know, why are we so tired? Typically because what I experience is I exhaust myself in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself this last week, I was just listening to so many podcasts, and eventually I'm just like, I'm not enjoying this anymore. And I think it's because I've been like over consuming information, and I just need to chill and like sit with myself instead. But it's uncomfortable when you're like used to living a fast paced life. And it's like something that I have to intentionally like remind myself to do. Even just going for walks, it's like, so easy to just put on a podcast and, you know, going from one thing to the next and then work and being with the kids. And it's like, why not just walk with nothing? It doesn't always come naturally, but I think it's really important.
Leaning into the being, right? So like when we go for that walk, we could experience a podcast that's going to cultivate a lot of joy.
Totally. Right? Sometimes it's the right move.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, there's some podcasts out there, and like, that is exactly what I needed to hear.
Especially if it's grounded wellness.
Exactly. No, and it's true that like there are things that you're in alignment with. So it's about, so can we trust that joy that we're cultivating to find our alignment as opposed to our mental trying to figure it out? Right? Can we, if I listen to this podcast and that podcast, then
so much information out there. I have to learn it all and retain it all.
If we can lean into the joy of the experience, then the podcasts are going to find us in theory, right? And they'll be easy to discern, right? So the more joy that we're experiencing and trusting that joy, that it's going to allow us to find more abundance within ourselves. And then the alignment that we talked about earlier, like finding the podcasts that are for us, right? Really for us, that are synergistic, right? The synergy. So that's another piece of sitting in silence and stillness and dropping our consumption. We're able to find an experience and observe and play witness to the synergistic aspects of our experience, right? Because once those come through, the synchronicities, you know, once the synchronicities come through, then we're styling, right? You don't have to think about anything.
Right.
It's just all synchronicities everywhere, right? I mean, this only happened, I got a call last week. This is super synchronistic.
I know, I love how this worked out.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what is the biggest or craziest transformation that either you have experienced personally or that you've seen someone else experience from the healing power of herbs?
I can't say it's all that like glamour E. It's just not. But everyone that comes to the farm that works on the farm has what I would construe or describe as an enlightening experience at some level. So, you know, getting rid of the blockages, getting rid of the excess, and finding, you know, more of who they are.
That's a huge contrast with people who work on conventional farms. I mean, they are some of the most sick people, most riddled with disease, because they're constantly in contact with these chemicals that have been proven to not be safe for humans, but that's their job and they're forced to work with them. So I would imagine that being in a farm like yours would allow for so much more healing and peace.
Yeah, so much of our mission is about creating an economy that works for people. You know, we have a responsibility as humans to create work for ourselves that is in alignment with the culture that we want to experience. So how do we do that? How do we create jobs and work that people really enjoy and can heal and can show up and be themselves? And yeah, the way we farm right now is not ideal for that. And a lot of the economy is not ideal for people to find jobs that allow them to heal and dissolve their issues and evolve.
What makes the soil in Kauai so special?
You know, I don't really know that answer. Everything.
What doesn't make it special?
Everything. I mean, all the minerals and nutrients are in that volcanic soil. You know, we talked about magnesium, calcium, phosphorus. I mean, there's aspects of, you know, it's a tropical environment. I think it's really a question of going with it, meaning, you know, we can grow amazing fruit and we can grow amazing herbal medicine. Some of the vegetables require amendments. So a lot of vegetable farmers bring on amendments, and I understand that.
What does that mean? What's an amendment?
Different types of minerals that they need to add to the soil. It's also because they're growing on scale. Like if we had a backyard garden, it wouldn't need any amendments.
Yeah.
You know, we would just need compost that comes from the garden. So what makes it so special? It's on the North Shore here, it's super rootsy, it's diverse, it's jungly, it's got all the minerals and vitamins that I love to experience. So I feel the nourishment when I consume the Kauai grown soil through the plants.
Are you barefoot on your farm often?
No, I wear boots.
Do you?
Yeah, I protect my feet. A lot of people are barefoot.
Yeah.
But I've had my feet kind of beaten up through different things on the farm, so I do wear boots on the farm.
Probably the best soil to ground on, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you see a parallel between the microbiome of the soil and the microbiome of the gut or the human body?
Yeah, it's one and the same. That's what we consume through our soil is what we experience in our gut.
For anyone listening who may not have access to land, what's one simple practice that they can implement to reconnect to nature?
Well, we talked about drinking lemon balm tea, mint tea. So at the farmer's market, you know, going to your farmer markets and buying what attracts you and then consuming it in simple form, whether it's raw tomatoes or cucumbers or big salads. So remember, putting that nature within you. Obviously, as much ocean and mountain hiking and fresh air, all the things that we all know, just making sure that we hold ourselves accountable and being in nature as much as possible.
Yeah. You are raising your family on this land. What do you hope that your children or any future generations of herbalists will do to carry out your work into the future?
Honoring the plants is, you know, a humbling act. It drives connection. It drives connection to other humans. It drives connection to the land. So fostering this plant revolution, if you will, where our economy is based on it, our lifestyles are based on it, our housing is based on it, we live amongst the plants, and we, as a result, we connect with the land, and we have what in Hawaii they refer to as kuleana, responsibility for and they call it Malama Aina. So Kuleana responsibility, and Malama Aina would be care for the land. So responsibility for the land. And then as we care for it, it cares for us. And it's easier said than done, but it requires connection. And so that connection is so, like for me, it's been a gnarly experience. Like I've been just like, no, I don't want to connect. You know, no, you will connect, right? Like I told you, I dug the hole, you know, we dug this hole and it's like forces connection.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's enough connection. It hurts.
You're in
it.
No,
it hurts. Yeah. No, connect deeper.
Yeah.
And so that connection holds responsibility, right? And that's that responsibility, like allows us to be responsible for everything and everyone, not just the little things around us, not just our little families, but everything and everyone. Once we find that Kuleana and that Malama Aina, then we're responsible for everything.
Doug, thank you so much. This conversation has been so insightful, and I can't wait to incorporate some of these herbs into my daily routine going forward. Where can people find you and learn more about Kauai Pharmacy?
So we have a website, www.kauaipharmacy.com. So K-A-U-A-I. pharmacy.com. And that has all kinds of information and has all our products there. And then we have a YouTube as well as Instagram, as you would imagine. Kauai Pharmacy Tea is our Instagram. And tomorrow we're going to see you on the farm as well, too. So you can come see us if you can find us on Kauai. We're on the North Shore in Kilauea. And we do tours and such.
So if people want to come along with us and tour Kauai Pharmacy, they can check that out on the vlog linked in our show notes.
Awesome. And just if you begin to use, like the tea, for example, the superfoods,
yeah,
once they're within you, all this information that I'm sharing is kind of not that, it's much more impressive to experience the plants.
Yeah.
And it's profound.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this conversation, make sure to follow Grounded Wellness on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or subscribe to our YouTube channel.